Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jock Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to episode 106 of Jacques Talk. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig. What up, bro? What's the sit rep?
Let's see here. We are 50 seconds in, and we are 5x5. Operation Jacques Talk is a go.
Number six, who comes to mind?
What's the damn strong safety?
Oh, Donovan Wilson?
Donovan Wilson is the only six that comes to mind for me.
You know what? That's a quality number six. So let's roll with that.
Keep it pushing, baby. Keep it pushing.
I like it. He's a hard hitter. So let's roll with that. If you've ever been involved in a car accident, somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, what you got to do, seriously, is pick up the phone, call 972-934-8900. And let the folks at Greening Law help you. I just looked. Now, I like to tell y'all, the call, when you tell a call and give them your details, call is free. They bring you on as a client. It's been a fantastic day for you. Because whenever you're fighting somebody's insurance company, man, this thing can be long and tedious and drawn out. And it's a fight. I was just looking at Facebook, and a friend of mine had been involved in a car accident, very bad accident, but luckily her and her daughter emerged, with no debilitating, life debilitating injuries. But Greening Law took their case, and that was 2 years ago, and they're still fighting. She said they're great. They do everything we need. They're handling everything. But she was telling me that these things just, I had no idea it was going to take this long. And what happens is when you're in a process like this, man, you get some anxiety, you get some tension because it's so long and you're not really sure what's happening. Well, Greening Law takes care of literally everything so you can focus on healing and renewal. Get your mind right, get your body right, get your life back. That's what they're all about. So when you're going through this, man, who doesn't want a company that'll tell them when to turn left and when to turn right and when to sit and when to stand and when to walk and when to run? That's what Greening Law does. So if you're ever involved in an incident where somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, be it workplace, be it medical malpractice, any of that, sexual abuse, any of that, Greening Law is the place to go. And you ain't got to take my word for it. You can look at their website, greeninglaw.com, and check out all the awards Robert Greening has gotten. It'll take half an hour to look at the awards he's gotten. He's a bad man. 972-934-8900. Is the number. I am geeked. I'm excited. I'm hyped. Because tomorrow, I guess it's today. Today at noon. So if you're listening in the morning, you need to check it out at noon. If you're listening in the afternoon, you need to stop what you're doing and go to YouTube, go to The Real Jacques Talk, and check out the first episode of Jacques Talk 101. It's some good work, I think. It'll continue to get better as we get some more equipment and we do some different things and we really branch out and see what we can do. But it's one-on-one conversations that I have with your Dallas Cowboys from every era, eventually. The 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, everybody in the 2000s. And it's on the field, it's off the field, it's moments that shaped them, it's their best games, it's what they remember from playing with guys like Michael Irvin or Roger Staubach or being coached by Tom Landry, all of that stuff, depending on who we talk to. Some of them will be big names, guys in the Ring of Honor. Some of them will be names that are very recognizable, and some of them will be names like, well, damn, he played for the Cowboys? Who knew? But everybody got a story, and we start telling them tomorrow, noon, Central, on The Real Jacques Talk on YouTube. Jacques Talk one-on-one. Check it out. It's worth your time. First guest, my boy, number 28, Darren Woodson. And we talk about some stuff I know y'all ain't never heard him discuss, ever. And we got real with it. Very real with it. So check it out tomorrow at noon. Jacques Talk 101. Me, Darren Woodson. We've only just begun.
No, dog, you just messed, you just messed it all up, dog. I was just thinking, man. I was thinking, what a tough guy Woody is, man. Woody is probably one of them guys. If he said something on the football field, you would be like, okay, dog, you got it. Then you just put that little metrosexual stuff on the end of it.
Hey, man, I like to sing a song every night.
That's like pickles. That's like pickles on a hot dog. It ain't right.
I ain't mad at you about that. Yeah. It's like pickles in Dr. Pepper. That ain't right either.
That's all good right there.
Let's give Spicy Tide Archer a call.
Roger that.
Archer, brought to you each and every Wednesday by Smokey John's Barbecue, 1820 West Mockingbird, where the food is to live for.
Hello.
What's up, bro?
What's going on?
You getting all misty-eyed? Your beautiful daughter graduating in a day or two or a week?
June 2nd, yeah. Goes quick.
You'll be an empty nester.
Yes, we will.
You're going to keep the 9,000 square foot house, or you going to downsize? Get a condo downtown like your boy.
Yeah, we're not moving. Sorry. Next time we move is when we move.
Oh. So then that means I could perhaps move in to one of the spare rooms.
Why would you want to live out in the burbs when you're a big, you got your condo downtown? Like big.
Well, you know, sometimes you like a little change of pace, though. You treat it like a bed, treat it like a Airbnb.
Oh, okay.
Jacques talk like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Right.
Huh? In this video, I show you how you can.
What the hell?
Hey, I guess Arch got bored. He's like, yeah, bump this.
My TV's not working, and I'm trying to figure out for the last hour how to reset everything, and none of it's worked, so I have a bad problem.
That's very frustrating. Yeah. That being said, Cowboys had some OTAs today. What struck you?
I don't know. We weren't out there.
Oh, that's right.
We're out there Wednesday.
See,
Joe and Jacques was covering the team. He knew these things. Now that he's just around the team, he doesn't know any of this stuff.
I can't even lie. I forgot it's Wednesday where you get access. Today they just showed up. No Michael Parsons. He's out there boxing and sumo wrestling. Yeah. What is your take on that? I put mine out earlier on Clapper. I think I put it on Twitter, which is, if you're going to be if you're going to be the leader, you're going to be the guy. You missing 2 days of boxing to be with your teammates is not that big a deal that you're not there, but it'd be nicer if you were, considering what's at stake this season.
It's not missing 2 days. He's not been around really much at all. So again, I think we've talked about this. If you're going to come out and say you want to change the culture and add to the leadership, that's the shared sack. That's what everybody tells us. All the great leaders that we know, it's shared sacrifice, going through the stuff in the off season, all that stuff. That's what makes Dak great. Dak's been out there all the time with these guys, and then extra, right? If you're going to say all that and you don't show up, I'm more of the it's actions more than words.
Yeah,
Look, I want to ask Micah these questions, like why he's not been there, if he's saying these things, and you know, I'm sure he'll have answers, and they'll make sound sense and all that, and you know, but again, I go back to something McCarthy said. I think it was after Micah's rookie year. Part of being a great player is bringing other guys along with you, and part of that again is being there and sharing that sacrifice and being around them and working out. And what is every coach you've ever been around, Jock, at the Cowboys or any sport, told you, like, you get more out of it when all these guys are together because you push yourself more and you'll do all that kind of stuff. It's just, and Mike is a great player, and Mike is probably one of these guys that can do these sort of things. And I'm not saying he's wrong for attacking it this way, but you bring a little added attention to yourself when you say you want to change the culture and add to the leadership, and then you're not there to change the culture in an off season and add to the leadership.
No, I would agree with that. It's just the way they got beat down last year probably makes it a bigger deal to me. The fact that there's all this change in the air makes it a bigger deal to me. And the fact that you're supposed to be the guy, and I don't have any doubt that he's working hard and all of that. But again, it's kind of what you're saying. It's about if you're the leader, then, you know, you're in the trenches with us. You know, and maybe you need to show some guys, hey, this is how you really get down and how you really do it if you're serious. What do you think, Joe? You played football.
Well, I think more of a military, from a military standpoint, is that you got to make everybody feel that they matter. From the platoon leader to the platoon sergeant to the lowest private, you got to make everybody, you got to get everybody in on the mission. You got to make everybody matter. Everyone counts or nobody counts. And that's how you kind of got to do it.
That's what Dak does, right? That's what we hear everybody, Tom Dak Brady. Can talk to the Tom Brady top of the roster to the bottom of the roster, right? Yep. And that's what makes Dak great.
Well, looking at a lot of stuff from Tom Brady, he was, you know, he was saying, hey, I introduced myself to everybody, from James Harrison to some no-name guy. Hey, they already know who he is, but he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm Tom. And from what I heard, that he went to OTAs most of the time. So, I don't know. What is Micah trying to say? I'm with you, Todd. You know, your actions speak louder than words. What you say and how you make somebody feel is two different things sometimes.
And, you know, let's be honest. Okay, if there's no contract done, which we don't think there'll be one done for Micah this offseason, just the way all this stuff is trending, right? Well, we know he's not going to be around next year at all. Not the OTAs, maybe not the mini camp. We'll see if CD is going to be at the mini camp next month, as he's waiting for his contract. So last year I thought, you know, Micah did his own thing. He spent a lot of time in Austin working out down there. And when the OTA started, he was around. And I'm not going to say one OTA. If he's there tomorrow and we show up, okay, none of this really matters what we're talking about right now, I guess, right? But if he's not there tomorrow and he's not there Thursday, they only got six of these things, and then they go to their mini camp. Like, at some point, it's easy to say none of this stuff matters when, you know, it's voluntary and all this stuff. But if it didn't matter, then why do they do it? It's got to matter a little bit. It's got to help somebody or something or the entire operation. It's got to help, especially when you have a new defensive coordinator going to be using you in a different way. And look, Mike is still going to have 14 sacks, and he's still going to be a finalist for the Defensive Player of the Year award and all that good stuff. But I'll go back to what McCarthy said. It's about bringing everybody along with you when you're a great player. That's what makes great players. That's what – think of the great players that been around since I've been covering this team, Jock. Like, and yeah, okay, they've not won a Super Bowl or gone to an NFC title game, but I'd venture a guess, like, Jason Witten still considered a great player. Jason Witten was always around. Zach Martin, always around. Tyron Smith, always around. DeMarcus Ware, always around. Terrence Newman, always around. Like, you know, it might not matter that much, but it matters at least a little.
No, it does. You know, I think it matters even more when you're putting a new scheme in. What you think, I don't know. Seems like Micah just, and I don't think it's good or bad. In some respects, it's just what it is. He seems to me to be a dude who just kind of dances to his own beat. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's fair. We've seen it on how we've seen it how he plays. We've seen it how he thinks about things when he talks to us. He's always pretty insightful.
Yeah, that's really what I'm getting at. When he talks to us. Yeah. That's a more articulate way to say it. Because I was saying he's just not a regular dude. And again, it's not good or bad to me. It's just what it is. Because, you know, I enjoy listening to him talk because, as you say, he takes some deep takes on some things, or his
perspective on some things is not what I would always consider, like, you know, standard athlete thought process, which is good.
Right. I mean, you don't want just automatons. What's the word? What's the, you don't want just freaking robot guys just like, we must do this and all that. Like, and you know, you don't want all those guys. But again, it goes to what you said. When you want to be that guy and be the leader and say you're going to be the leader, there are certain things you might have to do that you might not want to do. I'm sure that, like, look, does Dak need to be at every single one of these things? No. But he's there, right?
Right.
So, because it matters. And he understands that when you get to December and you're tired and I'm tired and, you know, you put the work in with all these guys, well, then you give more effort, but you'll trust, there's probably more trust involved that I know this guy has done everything possible with me. So let's pull together a little bit more. And it might be all just like sports mumbo jumbo crap that we're just talking about. Like, we can have a chemistry conversation for all you want. You know, these guys don't need to be best friends to be good teams. Jacques, you know my feeling on chemistry.
Right.
Winning makes chemistry. Chemistry does not make winning, in my mind.
Yes. Winning and alcohol cure everything. There you go.
Okay. Well, that was all right.
Good drink and some winning. Yeah, we got it. Losing and a good drink. Oh, we all fighting like the Eagles was last year. You know, it is what it is.
Nah, I can get down with that. What's the latest on, let's see, you want a CD's contract or Dak's contract?
The same. There's nothing. I mean, and this is a question I'm going to ask Dak tomorrow is, you know, everybody talks about the Cowboys waiting to get something done. Why has he been so patient on this stuff? Why is he willing to be patient too? I think we've talked about this. Like, we always forget there's two sides that have to do a deal, and Dak seems to be like, oh, you guys don't want to press it? Okay, cool. You know, we don't have to. No skin off my back. You know what I mean? He seems pretty unbothered by it. And that it's easy to say, well, he's cashed in 100 and whatever million in the last 4 years or something. But he was this way before he cashed in on the first deal. And I think that's one thing that surprised the Cowboys when they had the Goff and Wentz deal in front of him in 2019, and he said no. Like, here's a fourth-round pick who hasn't, quote, made real money, even though he was pulling in side deals from advertising and all that kind of stuff, or marketing deals. But certainly hadn't made the 100 whatever guaranteed that was staring at him, and he said no. And why is he like that? Like, what? And it's probably just the utmost belief in yourself. I would guess.
No, I think that's what it is. I think, what does Parcells say confidence is? It's born from demonstrated ability. He's demonstrated that when you put me on a one-year deal, I'll ball out and get paid. So, I don't, you know, y'all do what you're going to do. Until I get
the last number. Well, the last year he played on a one-year deal, he fractured his ankle and still got paid.
That should give you more confidence.
Right.
You know what I mean? But all those franchise tags to me were like, you know, I mean, they're basically one-year deals. And if you play well, you get the riches. And if you don't, you're still rich. You just don't get what you want. But I think, this is just me thinking, I think he has a number he likes, a number he thinks he should get. And I don't think he's, for the most part, I don't think he really wants to budge from that, whatever that number is.
Right.
He may make some allowances here or there. But I think he's so confident in himself that it's just like, fine, if you bet on me, if you want me to bet on myself, cool, no worries, I'll do it.
And I think with CD, you know, you've seen a couple of these receiver deals come in here lately. AJ Brown, his agent did that deal, so that they know what the top of the market looks like. And it does seem to me as just Justin Jefferson and CD Lamb, both camps, are just kind of waiting for the other guy to go. And again, the Cowboys have to show some wherewithal or aggressiveness or willingness to want to get something done. as opposed to, well, we're offering A and you guys are at Z, so we don't even need to talk. You know, maybe, I don't know if there's an element of that, but I think, you know, there's a, when you look at the contracts without knowing the specific language and payments and cash flows and all that kind of stuff to them, there seems to be a pretty even, and you can even say the thing, I guess the same thing about the quarterback market, as to where this thing should come in at for CD, that it's 32, 33, 34 million. And somehow you get to that point, right? And I feel like all I'm doing is repeating everything I said to y'all before. The Cowboys are willing to lay out the cash. That's not the issue. They want the structure on the contract. And players these days, they're holding more firm to the structure of the contract so they can tap in again and get that second or third deal in a lot of cases. And that's where the Cowboys have to find some kind of adjustment to – it's the adjustment to the adjustment at in a game, right? Like, what's the adjustment to the adjustment after a team figures out what you're doing? And now the Cowboys have to figure out the adjustment to the adjustment.
That's actually a great point, man, because I think that's I'm not saying that you're breaking news, but I think you hit on it there, because if you're a player and you know how these contracts work, okay, why should I lock myself? If you're really, and we're talking about the elite players, why should I lock myself up? I mean, it just doesn't make sense, because you're going to cut me or tell me to come for a pay cut anyway. If I don't perform at a certain level, so why don't I just make it a 4-year deal, and then every 2.5 years we can start this again?
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, 2 summers ago in Oxnard, I asked Stephen Jones, "Isn't it time to start looking at Dak's contract?"
No, and it was real, because it's like you don't want to get to the last year, and you know it's going to take a minute, and so you kind of got to do that,
right? So, I mean, so now this is the situation that you're in. And by no means am I saying they should have listened to me, but again,
oh, no, they should have listened to
me. What's the adjustment to the adjustment? Because how you're going about it, it isn't getting a deal done.
Dude, And I don't know, so, you know, this is the business of football. You can't separate the two. I mean, I imagine they'll get something done at some point. That's with CD. I still don't know that they'll get it done with Dak. Clarence Hill tells me I'm crazy, but I'm just like, dude. Dak can give you the nice guy he all wants, but he's very stubborn.
I don't know why we're just not thinking this is going to be the same exact thing as Kirk Cousins. Everything that Dak has done in some respects has mirrored Cousins, from getting tagged in the long-term deal, getting what he wanted, you know. So Cousins has laid out the strategy for all the quarterbacks if they're willing to for the non-Patrick Mahomes type quarterbacks. He's laid out the strategy that they all should follow.
Right.
Because, you know, and look at all the cash wise, he has to be among the highest paid over the last, 8 years, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, he franchised twice in Washington, fully guaranteed deal in Minnesota. I think he got another almost fully guaranteed deal in Minnesota. Now he's got $100 million coming to him in Atlanta or whatever it is. So, I mean, he's played it right. To me, it's not the drop dead date for Dak is next March. It's the week before the new league year starts. That's the absolute drop dead date, because once that date passes, all of the prorated money that they have out there on the deal comes forward, and there's nothing you can do about it. So that's what you're left looking at. And it gets to March 12th when he doesn't have a contract.
Yeah.
Well, why should he just not wait until he gets to the open market? And by then, he's got, his agent should know who's going to offer him what and what they can do. And then it would just be up to Dak to say, do I want to leave the Cowboys, the team I grew up a fan of, that I have such a strong tie to the community and all the things that I do here, to go somewhere else? And if I go, not only just to go somewhere else to chase the cash, but to go in my 10th year in the league to have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. Where, like, what team would that be, you know, next March?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Pittsburgh? I don't know. I mean,
see, I would, it could be, but I don't know. After they've gone through Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, they may be like, ah, we're sick of these guys.
Right.
So I don't know. But then,
and that's why it's now encumbered on teams. If you have to have a 5-year plan per quarterback. This isn't lock your guy up for 10 years. You might need to restart it every you got to have a plan. Let me say this. If they sign Dak to a 4-year extension, it'll be a 5-year deal, right? So 24, 25, 26, 27, through 28. Is that right? Yeah, through 28. By the April 26th draft, or the April 27 draft, they need to draft their next quarterback. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just play it out this way again. So, and I know it's not, you know, you can't 1-800 call it, dial up a quarterback and all that. Sure. But at some point, teams have to make the decision. Is it better to be, you think the Giants are happy they gave Daniel Jones $40 million a year?
Hell no.
So you might want to be willing to bite the bullet and start over and go with the track of good roster around a rookie quarterback as opposed to high-priced quarterback without all the pieces around him. What's the best way to go? I have a feeling we're about to find out with the Cowboys, and we'll have that answer in 3 years.
Yeah, because, you know, it also, like, next year, who's coming out? It's Quinn Ewers, it's Shedeur Sanders, it's
guy from Georgia.
It's the guy from Georgia, and then some guy who we haven't even heard of yet.
Is that Beckwith? Right. Beckwith at Georgia or something like that?
I don't know. Beckett.
Carson Beck.
Beck, there you go.
You know, and then and what you're saying is, do we weigh Quinn Ewers over, you know, Dak for 5 years over Dak Prescott? And his 58 million over, you know, 4 or 5 years. So that's ultimately the question that gets asked.
Right.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting. And the only thing I disagree with you is, like, I know the paperwork says March, but I'm just like, dude, if I done waited all this time and I'm this close to free agency, I don't know why I just don't wait.
Oh, yeah.
And check it out.
No question. But you can't sit there and say for sure, like, okay, they don't get a deal done by the time they leave Oxnard in August, that there's no chance Dak's going to sign another contract. I would put it at, what do you want to call that percentage at that point? Well, 60, 50? Than 50?
I would be less than 50. Because
But then you're in a situation where Dak takes him to an NFC title game or a Super Bowl. Then the Cowboys just give him everything he wants, right? Before we even get to March, whatever.
Yeah, this is true. But I don't see that. I don't see the team being that good. That's my problem. So this is why it'll be a fascinating year, bro. This is why it'll be as interesting as, I mean, I don't know what the win-loss record will be. But off the field, it'll be as fascinating as it gets. Because at a certain point, it always comes down to the dude. And, you know, I'm not comparing me to Dak by any stretch. But, you know,
thankfully,
when I talk about growing up wanting to write for the Dallas Morning News, reaching the top of the hierarchy at the Dallas Morning News, basically, and then getting an offer to leave, it's, well, damn, this is where I always wanted to be. This is where I always wanted to do, da-da-da-da-da. And then here's this other thing over here, and which do you take? And at a certain point, you go, what? You know what? Y'all acting like it's, you know. At a certain point, the other person, you feel, if you feel anything other than pure love, you're just like, oh, There's some disrespect there. Let me just go on over here because I don't have to worry about that over there. So, I don't know. It's weird. So, we'll see.
Joe, did Jacques just say the Dallas Morning News disrespected him? Is that what he just said?
I was trying not to say that, but yes, that's what I said.
I think he said that's what he said.
They rushed me into a decision. We need you to make a decision today. Why? Why today? Why you got to have it today? Well, we need to know. Okay, fine, I'm out.
Just applied pressure for no reason.
For no freaking reason. None whatsoever. I was trying to watch a movie in the middle of the day at North Park. Phone ringing. We need to know. We need to know. Man, fuck y'all.
What was the movie?
That I can't remember. That I can't remember. That's because I was distracted after the phone call.
See, if we were writing a story about it, that would be our lead. Would be that's why we asked that question. We want to get all the details. What were you drinking? Were you drinking a water? Are you drinking having some popcorn? You know, take me inside that theater there, Jacques.
In that point in my life, I was probably drinking a bottle of water and I had snuck in some snacks because I hate paying for snacks at the movies. I'm cheap like that.
Oh, you was at the movie. Okay, there you go.
What kind of movie you think
well,
I was
I don't
in?
Know. I'm not a Dallas guy.
The X-rated movies are driving.
Well, you said, whatchamacallit, what mall was it again?
North Park.
North Park, yeah, Joey, wasn't that?
I've never.
Some seedy spot.
I never delivered anything at North Park. Do they even have a food court at North Park?
Yeah. They do.
I don't know. I've never delivered over there.
Okay.
That's out of my desk, probably out of my, above my pay grade, I guess.
Nah,
let's not let him get away from here without talking about no basketball. Because I think we upset Clarence because we didn't ask him about the Mavericks.
Well, Arch is really much more of a college basketball guy than an NBA guy.
Well, he played basketball.
Well, this is true. I mean, we can always ask about the Celtics and the Bruins.
You don't have to ask about the Bruins.
I mean, I didn't realize they finished fourth in the conference this year. Were they? I don't know that they were supposed to beat Florida, were they?
No. No, Florida was better than them. And the Bruins are they're a team that – it's weird that I'm going to say like they scraped and hustled and worked for their 109 points, but they had to have won 15 games 2-1.
Oh,
okay. What was the team a couple of years ago in the NFL that won all them close games and, you know, everybody thought they were the next team and the following year they lost all those close games. They weren't very good, right? So that was the Bruins. And so they were still good. They just didn't have the depth. Florida's just better, but the Celtics, like, this is what I hate about the Celtics right now is they haven't played anybody. Well, if the Celtics got taken to 6 by Miami or 7 by who did they just play?
Cleveland.
Everybody would have been saying they're struggling. Yeah. You can't trust Celtics, can't do this. Well, they went in both in 5 and they're not playing any close games and they don't get any credit for that either. But if they got struggled against these guys, they would have been killed there too. So I hate
the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, well, I just hate the if the Celtics don't win in this year, then Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown they got to blow it up. Why are they going to blow it up? They've been to 6 Eastern Conference Finals in the last 8 years. They've been to a final. Like,
you run it back and try to do it again next year.
Brad Stevens seems to be doing a pretty good job when he got Porzingis and Drew Holiday in there. So I don't know. Seems like you got a pretty good team.
What do you think about the coach? There doesn't seem to be much national respect for him.
It's just because he's a young guy who's never done it, right? I mean, how he got the job was kind of different than how everybody else usually gets these jobs. But, you know, look, Carlisle's won a title. Jason Kidd is Jason Kidd, a Hall of Famer. You know, as a player, won a title. I guess the Minnesota guy is kind of an unknown dude who has to coach from behind the bench because he blew his patella tendon out. But it would be disappointing if the Celtics don't win this thing based on who is left. They'll be overwhelming favorites regardless if they certainly are against Indianapolis. And then if it's Dallas or Minnesota, everybody's going to say the Celtics not only should win, have to win. And that's not a good place to ever be. But I think Kyrie going back to Boston, man, that would be with a championship on the line. I mean, I still think Kyrie gets booed every time he goes up there, even with the Mavs. Like, there's long memories up there, especially when he said, this is the place I want to be and I don't want to leave. And he ended up obviously leaving.
Yeah, man, I thought you was going to talk about the Mavericks, man. I don't care nothing about no Boston. I just was wanting your take on the Mavericks. That went into a totally different way than I wanted to go. I haven't liked Boston since the 80s. I love the 86 Celtics myself, but other than that.
That's the best team in NBA history that no one wants to call them the best team in NBA history.
They had the green team.
Are they better than the 72 Knicks?
I never saw the 72 Knicks. I was 5 years old.
I mean, I was too, but I was a Clyde Frazier fan and an Earl Monroe fan.
Yeah, I think you knew
a Jerry Lucas and a Dave DeBusschere. Yeah,
I don't think you knew you was looking at it 5.
I was a sports writer, so yes, I did.
Okay, all right. Then.
I mean, I just gave you the starting lineup.
I can do that.
So Kyrie did not. I'm going back to the Mavs and Wolves here. Kyrie didn't play in any of the games. Did he play in any of the games against Minnesota?
No, their team is currently constructed did not play the Minnesota Timberwolves. So whatever happened during the regular season is irrelevant.
I do want to know who's Ant going to defend and how many times and what kind of pick and roll situations can they get him to create the switches and all that, or do they switch? That'll be something to watch.
Ant says he's guarding Kyrie.
And so it puts McDaniels on Luka?
Yeah, and the way the Mavericks have played, and I ain't no basketball expert, but the way they have played leads me to believe that they will tell Ant, man, he can do the SGA. If you want to score 42 points on a bunch of mid-range jumpers and dunks and highlight reel films, that's cool. We ain't trying to give you them threes, so we're not going to double you and we're not going to collapse on you. And hopefully our rim protectors can make it a little more difficult for you. But we will try to take away the threes and let you go for 40, 50 every night if you want to.
So who's got Conley? That'll be Kyrie. I think Kyrie's been a pretty underrated defensive player in these playoffs.
He's been really good in the playoffs to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they can punish Conley. I mean, he struggled offensively because they gave him quite a bit of attention. They'd have to do something to give him some. I mean, I think he would punish Conley. So
yeah,
it'll be a good matchup. Although the Wolves play some terrific defense, and so the Mavericks are playing really good defense now. So it may be a much more of a defensive series than we could have ever imagined when the season started.
Stars in six.
Yeah, I think the Stars are winning the cup this year, bro. I mean, I don't think I'm breaking news here. And I realize the Rangers won the President's Cup, but I love the Stars' blend of youth and veterans. And they just seem to me, the Rangers did win their first 7, so it's not like they're pushovers. But Stars to me are going to the Cup, going to the playoff, to the Cup. Play for the Cup, probably. I mean, Rangers and Panthers, where'd they finish? 1-2 in the East? You know, so, to answer your question, I think they win it in 6. I think they go up probably similar to the last time, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2.
So, Tanev is like an all-in move. Is that what we're saying? Bring it to the Cowboys? That would be an all-in type move by the Stars when they got him?
They said they needed a top 4 right-handed shot defenseman to pair with Lindell. He was the best on the market, the best available, so they went and got him from Calgary. And he's just been exactly what they said they needed and what they wanted. And he's been kicking ass, taking names. And then when you put him with Heskinen, they hard to deal with. Edmonton's got 2 of the best in the world. So we shall see. But so did Colorado.
Yeah, but they did I don't know what McKinnon did in that series, so it's a full-service podcast.
You can't get this everywhere. We appreciate you, bro, and hope your TV gets fixed.
Appreciate you. Sounds good.
You too, later. Baby. You too.
See you guys.
That's Todd Archer on the extended visit this week. Brought to you each and every Wednesday by Smokey John's Barbecue, 1820 West Mockingbird. Smokey John's Barbecue, where the food is to live for. That's real talk, man. The food is fantastic. We love the Jam Session Bowl. That's what we like to think is known for, even though it's on the secret menu. So if you don't know, you don't know. Jam Session Bowl is a mac and cheese base or a mashed potato base. Your choice, 2 out of 5 smoked meats. And then, man, all the stuff you find on the loaded baked potato, sour cream, chives, bacon bits, cheese, whoo, butter, all that good stuff, man. That comes next. Then you either drench it with sauce or you drizzle it with sauce. Either way is fantastic, although I prefer the drizzle. And then, man, you just scarf it down. It's terrific. It's easily enough for two, no cap. Easily enough for two. If you got a little shorty, I'm not even capping, man. 3 of y'all can eat off of it. No problem whatsoever. The Jam Session Bowl is fantastic. It's, I promise y'all, I have yet to have anybody eat the Jam Session Bowl and talk about, hey, man, that's not what you said it was. It was all right, but I mean, it wasn't special. Nobody says that, man. Cause
they ain't going to never say that. They ain't going to never say it's all right.
No, I mean, it really is good. I mean, pretty good. Jam Session Bowl is outstanding. If you need some Smokey John's in your life, like ASAP, you can go to SmokeyJohns.com, and they got a special right now. Special. You can get the rub and the sauce, $17.99 right now. Have it at your crib in a couple days. Go to Marketplace, click on it, boom, at the crib in a couple days. It don't really get much better than that, man. If you got to have it today, I recommend you go to HEB. You can pick it up today. It's on the shelves, baby, at HEB. You can pick it up right now. Have a good time. Smokey John's Barbecue. They bring us Todd Archer on Wednesdays, Clarence Hill Jr. on Fridays. It is food to live for. What, man? Jordan turned his mic off. He thinks I'm going to say something about his love in your mouth. Smokey John's Barbecue. Get some. You can thank me later. Come on back, bro.
What up? How you doing, man? How you doing today?
Let's go to the block, man.
Let's go to the block now. It's all good. We go to the block. I ain't mad at you. You are duly tickled, bro. I ain't never seen a man enjoy his own joke more than you. That's pretty good stuff, though.
It is. It'd be my, yeah. If you can't laugh at yourself, though,
who it is
laugh
funny, at? Though.
My grandson, who been asking for a dog, got himself a dog. He has a little pocket bully that's tan. It's a pretty dog, man, if you like those. It's a pocket bully that's tan and got Max Scherzer's disease. He got one blue eye and one gray eye. So you know what I said. Better not leave that dog on the front yard very long by itself. He won't be here. But that got me to thinking, man. I grew up around dogs because my dad always had a dog. My dad loves dogs. I'm actually surprised he doesn't have one right now. And my dad would always have his dogs trained to a T. Like, sit. You know, all the stuff you're supposed to heal, walk, all that stuff. He also had all his dogs attack trained. And the word, I can say it now because they're all dead, was
OXO. If you said OXO, dogs went crazy, dog. And my dad, we grew up with an Airedale. And then he had a Great Dane named Ramu, brindle colored. And Ramu was a great dog with the worst gas ever. Silent killers from Ramu. And Ramu lived about 8 or 9 years, so he was around for the bulk of my childhood. And you know, you have a certain bit of, you walk with a certain bit of swag when you walking down the street with a Great Dane on a leash next to you. You just feel better and more confident because ain't nobody even finna step to you unless they know the dog. Now, that being said, when I was a kid in Dallas, because y'all remember my dad lived in Ohio, I didn't really handle this. I was not good with this. I wasn't responsible enough. But we got a pair, if you can imagine this, dog, we got a pair of German Shepherds when I was in about the ninth grade. I mean, not the ninth grade. I was in about the fifth grade. And we named them, or I named them, Thunder and Thor. I thought that was kind of cool. And one of them, Thor, got whatever those worms are, like shortly after we got back to Dallas, and he ended up dying. And so Thunder was the only dog left. But the problem was, Thunder was a German Shepherd, and the problem was we never got him trained. And to me, much like you have kids who run around the restaurant acting a fool or the airport, and you're like, what the hell is wrong with them? There's nothing worse to me than a dog that's not trained. Like, you shouldn't get a dog if you're not going to train him. And so we dropped the ball on that one. And so Thunder, we ended up giving Thunder to my uncle. But my grandson got this dog, and I'm like, I guess that's good for him. Get him some responsibility. Whether it's cleaning up the poop or taking him out for a walk or just having kind of a companion. Did you have a dog?
Yeah, I had Fox Terrier. We named him Charlie.
Why y'all name him Charlie?
Because we liked the movie Good Time Charlie. I think it was about a doggone tiger or something, or a leopard or something that got in it. It was a Disney movie, and we named him Charlie, and he dug up all the plants, and he ate and chewed up all the army men. Needless to say, he wasn't trained in our apartment, so we ended up keeping him at my grandfather's house, and my grandfather tried to tether him, and then he just kind of ran in a circle and choked himself. It was awful.
Damn! Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, it was awful. We loved him, though, because me and my brother had twin beds on each side of the room. When we were supposed to go to sleep, Charlie would jump on one side and mess around with my brother, and then he'd jump on my bed and mess around with me. And my mom would come in and open the door, say, y'all better go to sleep. And the dog be playing like he sleep, and I'm playing like I'm sleeping. My brother's doing the same. And then once he closed the door, he go to jumping on the beds again. So he was really a cool dog. We just couldn't keep him in the apartment because he was doing dog stuff in the apartment. Mm. We didn't know how to train him, but we loved the hell out that dog. Yeah, I got a dog now.
You got a dog?
Yep.
For real?
His name is Mickey.
Where he stay at?
He stay in my desk drawer. It's a Ruger. See? It's a Ruger P95 that'll bite your ass 10 times.
See, I knew you didn't have no damn dog.
See what I'm saying? That's my dog. He served the same purpose. I got him. Don't nobody mess with me. Same thing. Them 10 bites to get your ass. Now, I wouldn't mind having a dog right now, but my wife don't like dogs, and it's okay. But my new neighbor's got a big puppy. That dog gonna be big. And I'm gonna enjoy him, you know what I'm saying? Long they look like they gonna train him, so it's all good. Plus he's housebroken.
Part of my maturity as an adult is the reason I don't have a dog. And that's because I'm a big believer in this. Like I just said, you do the dog a disservice if you don't train him to be housebroken and to heal and to walk and to do all the things that a dog should do.
Yeah.
So you do the dog a disservice. But then secondly, about 4 years ago, I was like, I want a dog. I want a dog for real.
Yeah.
And I wanted a boxer. And I started researching boxers and studying up on boxers. And they were like, hey, now, boxers are real playful dogs. They're real energetic. And you gotta play with them now. If you don't want to play, if you don't want your dog to be like, hey, it's time to play fetch today, buddy. Let's go. Then you don't want no boxer.
Right.
And I thought long and hard about it. Had my boy, because he had to connect in Houston, a police officer. He had to connect to these boxer breeders. He's like, I can get you a purebred one with all the papers. You just tell me when you want it, and we can go look at the puppies. They got a litter coming up. And I was like, damn, it's here. And I just could not pull the trigger on it, man, because I was like, Jacques, let's keep it real. Are you going to walk that dog when it's storming in the morning? And the answer was, nope.
Yeah.
I said, are you going to walk that dog when it's ice and it's 15 degrees out there? Nope. And the answer was, nope. Then it was, Jacques, is anybody else in this house? Your wife, the kids going to do it. And the answer was, hell no. And I was like, damn, I guess I ain't getting no dog.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get one.
You should have a plan that my daughter had.
What's that?
First of all, let me say happy birthday to her. She turned 29 today.
Happy birthday, Brandon. I remember when you showed up.
Brandon, thank you.
But I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's all good. She said, Dad, tell you what. She lives in North Garland. She goes, I tell you that, I'm going to have a dog, but I'm going to let you have him during the week, and then I'm going to come visit him on the weekend.
Come visit, not take him home.
Yeah, then I'll go back. I said, okay, so how long are you planning on visiting? She said, I'll visit in a couple of months. Then when I got time, I'll bring him to my house. I said, well, check this out. If you do that, it's going to be my dog. You understand? It's going to be mine. Because first of all, I got to get him acclimated to living with your mama, who's going to try to kill him. And then once we get past that, he's going to be my dog. And when he get to your house, he's going to start whining to come home. That ain't going to work. I'm going to feed him. I'm going to walk him. I'm going to talk to him. He's going to get to know me. And you think you're just going to come see him on. He's going to say, who is this lady? She nice, but I don't, you know. So that was her plan. And I was like, all right, fine by me. You want to buy the dog, but you just know you're giving me a birthday gift.
True that. So what happened to the dog?
We never did it. I talked out of it. Just like
what
you see.
What kind of dog did she want?
I don't know. We never got that far.
But dude.
The dog, I'm not.
I talked to. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I talked to my son the other day because dog is the topic of the conversation. You know what that boy told me he was getting? He said, oh, I'm going to get a dog, Dad. I said, when? He said, once I graduate and get my own spot. I said, okay, I like the way you're thinking, young man. I said, what kind of dog you want? You know what that boy told me?
Mastiff.
How you know? It's not a mastiff. He said a Cane Corso, which is the same basic thing.
Big ass, strong, muscly ass dog.
That don't take no shit, that says, yeah, yo, fuck with me if you want to.
Yeah, he better be. Yeah, he got to put some effort into that. So he might have the energy for that. You never know.
Hey, why'd you say that?
What?
Why'd you guess that? Because, I mean, you basically guessed it.
It's the popular dog right now. Plus, it's just a big, muscular dog that everybody like, kind of. And yeah. I don't know, the first time, I guess they really loyal.
They're
really loyal and they really disciplined. Because they big. They can rip some shit up, trust me.
You know, it fits. Once I got through being taken aback by it, it really fits his personality. You know what I mean? In terms of he's a very disciplined dude. He's very. I don't want to call him a loner because he has some friends, but he don't mind being by himself. And I was just like, oh, you know what? I could see that, man. I could see him training him and having, you know. I could just see that whole thing going.
Well, he might have the energy for that.
Yeah.
He definitely going to have to, because that's a big-ass dog.
Nah, dog, you right about that. I saw some other dog the other day that made me go back like, It was a, I don't even know the name of it. It's a, what's the name of that dog? It starts with an M. It's not a Mastiff. It's a, it's something. It looks like the dogs that the that's shown in the Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Is it a Mauser or something?
It's something similar to that. I can't remember the name, but I spent about an hour and a half reading on them last week. You know, I still don't want a dog, but damn it, I think about it more and more and more. You know, man's best friend. Sometimes you need somebody to just love you for you.
Yeah, I'm good.
Guess what the dog? So back when we started off talking about my grandson's dog, Pocket Bully. His name is Dirk. I'm like, why is the dog named Dirk? And I was told because the man who gave him the dog is from Chicago and named it after Lil Durk, the rapper. I said, ah, okay. I said, the dog don't know his name yet, so can it, can the name be changed?
Yeah.
Once he knows his name, you can't change it. Yep, Lil Durk. I just got confirmation on that. See, that's what I do for y'all. I get the latest up-to-date information. So, my grandson has a pocket bully named Lil Durk with named one blue
Dirk.
Eye.
Named Dirk.
Yeah, Dirk. I'm sorry, Dirk.
That's it could have been Dirk Nowitzki.
That's what I thought it
could've
was.
Could have been Dirk Diggler.
No, it couldn't have been Dirk Diggler.
But it's Lil Durk. We're going to live with it. The alternative, we're going to live
yes,
with Lil
it's
Durk.
Lil, how about that? It's been confirmed as Lil Durk. That's D-U-R-K. Who also happens, you know, he got this big...
Oh, D-U-R-K. Okay.
Yeah, he got... I think so. He got this little thing with NBA Young Boy. They go back and forth with each other. So I guess if he had another dog, he'd name him Young Boy. So there you have it. And that's our trip around the block today. We appreciate y'all.
Jim, do you want something that love you back? I ain't mad at you. All my firearms love me back.
Yeah, I'm not really a gun guy.
Yeah, I am. They love me back. I give them some love. They love me
although,
back.
Although, I was at my boy's house the other day, and he was cleaning his guns, and his friend, who was in the service, had come by to show him how to clean his guns. And after they cleaned their guns, they had a cigar. And we had some fantastic burgers, and we had a good Friday night just chilling.
Yeah, I do. I assist people all the time, usually with jams and stuff like that.
Well, he asked me if I knew anybody who knew how to clean a gun, and then a couple of days later, he found out that one of his friends knew how to do it.
Sure. If you've been in the Marines, I don't know about the Air Force and all that. They spend some range time, but if you've been in the Marines... Or you been in the United States Army? You know how to clean. You know how to clean the gun.
Yeah, he said it didn't take long.
Well, you clean that thing for 16 weeks to perfection. For me, as a recon, we had 16 week basic training.
Not 8 weeks.
No, you know, hey, no, you know. Yeah, I just got into an argument with a guy. Oh, it's only 8 weeks. One-stop unit training is 16 weeks. He called me a lie. I said, all right. After I cussed him out for about 10 minutes, I said, nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck you.
You dipshit.
But anyway.
Yeah.
You're a nicer guy than me. I'd have been like, you funny dude.
Only on the surface, I'm nice as you.
Yeah.
On the surf. But anyway, yeah, it's great. I enjoy it myself. But I usually fix a lot of stuff like that. Sometimes people put stuff together. Sometimes they put the wrong ammo in there. Sometimes it'll jam up. And a lot of times people get creative and try to modify stuff, and shit just don't go together like that sometimes. Sometimes you need to leave some shit as is. You know, because people modify stuff because it looks better.
Right.
So, they kind of cut down on the efficiency of some of that stuff. I could go into detail, but I put you to sleep. But anyway, it's all good.
It's all good. Yeah, we'll talk about Diddy next week. I mean, in a couple of days.
For sure.
Because I just read something. He's going, you know, a lot of people can come back from things. I don't think he's coming back from this.
You can't come back from no videotape look like that, though. You can't do it.
I don't think so. And I just read something that said 18 brands dropped him.
And they didn't, when they found out he sold, I know we're going to talk about it another day. They found out he did it. Nobody was dropping him. But when you see what happened, if I tell you what happened, I can kind of persuade you that it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's a misunderstanding.
The film don't lie.
No, the film don't lie.
The film show you is a nut job.
Neither does that that half-assed apology he came out with. That was the epitome of a narcissist. It's all about me, not the victim. That being said,
for sure,
we'll get with that on Friday. We'll have Clarence Hill Jr. on Friday. We'll have some playoff basketball and hockey to talk with, because both teams will begin their series by then. But tomorrow, what y'all supposed to do? You already know. At noon, you're supposed to go over to YouTube, check out The Real Jacques Talk, and look at Jacques Talk 101 featuring Darren Woodson as we kick off Season 1, Episode 1 of Jacques Talk 101. You can also find me on Twitter, at JJT Journalist. Remember, if you think you follow me, you don't, because my account was hijacked and it's been held for ransom. No cap. That's the truth. I'm not joking. I'm not playing. It is, and I refuse to pay the ransom. And then you can also follow the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. And I'm telling you, you want to get my thoughts, my views on what's happening with the Cowboys, the Mavericks. I haven't spent any time on the Rangers yet because they're in such a rut. I don't want to talk about them just yet. And the Stars, get with me on Clapper. It's got a format much like TikTok. If I just showed it to them, you'd think they're identical, but they're different. I'm on Clapper giving all my reviews, all my opinions on a regular basis. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor on Clapper. I made that easy for y'all to find. So we appreciate you for Big Joe and the Big Rig. Till we chat again. You guys be blessed.